Because we have one more storyteller tonight. This next gentleman coming to the stage. So, fun fact, he did our final show of 2014, and he's doing our first show of 2016. He missed an entire calendar year, and boy, did we miss him. This is James D'Amato. Yeah!
Hello, heroes. First of all, thanks everybody for coming out, especially the people who are involved in the network, who got up on stage, and I'm learning from many of you were terrified to do that. Guys, you're performers, come on. Thank you guys sincerely for being here. Fuck you, JPC, for not being here. Yeah, I have to, contractually obligated to mention him. He's signed a weird contract. Guys, today I am known to folks in the RPG community as someone who will play or read just about any game. And while technically you could call someone with a variety of tastes and interests as a Renaissance man, I vastly prefer the term that Jason Morningstar created to describe this behavior, filthy trash-eating crow. And I wear my trash bird badge with pride. However, there was a time where I was a hideous power gamer who refused to play anything but Dungeons & Dragons 3.5. I would spend countless hours that a reasonable person would have dedicated to studying, sleeping, or kissing people, pouring through rule books, searching for the proper combinations of spells, feats, and equipment that would turn my character into an unstoppable killing machine. From the moment classes ended to the moment it became physically impossible to form rational thoughts, I would strive to craft the perfect protagonist. Dedicating over 20 hours of your life to the birth of a fictional person who you may or may not be able to portray, depending on the ability of the least dependable people that you know to meet for over 4 hours on a weekend. That might seem crazy. And that's probably because it is crazy. But I also happen to know that having the right ability at the right time can be the difference between life and death. 2 years ago, I was at a turning point. I had just started a new job as a temp, and I knew that I was doing temp work because I had never put any effort into developing skills needed to get a real job. And I was dreading calls from my parents, who are two people that I love and who are mostly supportive, but they were also at the time delicately asking me when I would know it was time to give up. And I asked myself that question a lot of the time in private. And I was asking myself this question while refreshing my email, waiting for audition results from a major improv theater's Herald's team program. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever done a Herald audition. I know some of you have. But the system is sadistic. They send emails only to the students who have passed their audition. And at least when I was going, there was only a soft date for announcing these results, meaning after my audition, there was a period where I did not know if I had already failed. Every moment that I didn't see an email, I was standing between a massive rejection and heart-wrenching paranoia. Since failed auditioners don't get a rejection email, the way you find out is by seeing your friends and classmates congratulating each other on social media. And as far as I can tell, these emails don't all go out at the same time either. Perfecting the perverse mind game that is the audition process, it's not a single sting of rejection. It is a slow, torturous realization that one of those emails is not coming for you. Now, missing a Herald spot is not necessarily a dream-murdering tragedy. It means that you can either re-enlist in classes to try again or skip classes altogether and go to an open audition. People fail and retry all the time. What makes auditions important is affirmation. Passing an audition means someone else is telling you that you aren't doing something stupid. To someone who spent years struggling to pay bills, dropping hundreds of dollars on classes, that can mean the world. looking at my Facebook feed, seeing my friends celebrate their richly deserved success, it was a struggle to stay positive. Those two play so well together. They would have been idiots not to cast him. And she is so friendly and talented, she deserves this more than anyone. Mythologizing my friends only lasted so long before I turned to explaining my own failures. You never made real connections with people in your class because you were egotistical and unlikable. There is no obvious reason anyone would want you on their stage. You have spent years convincing yourself that you are capable of something that you are not. It has only brought pain to you and the people who care about you. And when I came to that slow, horrible realization that I was not picked for that audition, I wanted to give up. For the first time, it felt like success was not worth the price of failure. I had spent my time and money and strained relationships to a breaking point and spent countless hours chastising myself for not being good enough. I was just tired. For a brief moment, I told myself the story of a pathetic narcissist who wasted love, luck, and privilege chasing a ludicrous dream. Now, anyone familiar with my work knows that I don't enjoy telling stories like that. I prefer stories about heroes who are brave beyond reason, devastatingly clever men and women who do the right thing despite numerous personal flaws, and odd families of wandering outcasts who overcome insurmountable odds through love and friendship, with a borderline illegal amount of puns, and maybe just a little kissing. I was reminded of that in my moment of despair because on the playlist of songs that I had downloaded to fill time between podcasts and audiobooks at work, I had downloaded Adventure by Be Your Own Pet. The stories I tell with my friends on One Shot are far from works of narrative genius. They are often simple, inelegant, and unquestionably silly, but they are stories that I love. At the time, One Shot was a fraction of what it is today. We had less than a 20th of the listeners that we do now. There was no money or any chance of fame, no promise of a stable future, but it was what I wanted to do. And unlike the art form I had given my heart to, it was a space where people seemed to want me. Beneath the impending depression that accompanies failure, I found some hope. And perhaps, if I was willing to roll the dice on another crazy dream, I might be able to build something that I truly loved. And I don't know what player out in the cosmic reaches of our universe spent their weekend flipping through source books to find the theme song feat, which grants a character an ability to re-roll will saves against despair. But I can assure you it was time well spent. This, of course, is not the end of the story. There are innumerable challenges to face as the owner of a small business in an industry that could be generously described as merely mostly unreliable. Yet standing here in a room full of amazing individuals who have added their talents to the show, who I am very privileged to call friends, I know that I'm not alone. My party is strong. I know we will face doubt, failure, and countless other psychological perils. But it's cool, you know, because we're like adventurers. Thank you.
Thank you, James D'Amato. Yeah. Thanks, man. God. Hey, come on, James, just outside. Man, James is one of the heroes of the Chicago podcasting scene. What you've done with One Shot and Campaign, it's so amazing. It is a model to all of us who are trying to make